My name's Jen Yuchin.
And I'm Ari Fox.
And we're New Gaming News, a bi-weekly podcast and newsletter focused on the esports and gambling industry.
Anyway, I saw your articles. Boy, that's kind of vicious that the professional race car driver slammed into an esports guy.
Well,
because
it was an IndyCar driver unhappy with a Formula One racer possibly taking the victory, so he slammed into him in the game, which would never happen in an actual match. So now they're bringing into question the legitimacy of esports due to this one player not taking it seriously.
Well, that could have happened. They're quite questioning legitimacy because in an actual race where they have people's lives at stake, if they get into a car accident, it wouldn't happen. But,
well, that's my point. They should take it more seriously as a professional, especially when there is actual money being placed on it.
Right. And that's the problem with, you know, when you get to these professional drivers and they're playing an actual video game, which is just as much a simulation and just as much can be real in actual the way it's designed. It lends itself to be way more, they're not taking it seriously because it's not to a professional athlete. Now here's where it gets sticky. To a professional athlete, when they put them out there to play a video game of their own game, they're not going to take it as seriously from the physicality of it. So we're driving, being a race car driver, there's a certain physicality that is... And the same would go for any other sport, like basketball or anything like that, where... You know, somebody could create a fragrant foul and really hurt somebody in real life. But on a video game, if, you know, let's say Kevin Garnett or what's his name, the guy from the Warriors, Golden State Warriors, just wanted to mess around. And he just elbowed somebody in the face on NBA 2K just to play around.
It wouldn't be allowed.
They don't understand the severity of what they're doing because it's a video game. It's supposed to be, by its nature, video games are entertainment. So it's funny because there's a fine line between the entertainment of a video game and the actual competition of it. Mm. And the reason why I say that is because when a professional athlete sits down to play a video game, they're looking at it like pure entertainment from their perspective. Even if it is the sport that they play in real life, you know, that is the conventional sport of it. An esports professional doesn't look at it like that.
But as a professional, whether it's physical sport or esport, you know that this is an official match that people are placing bets on, and not only is it irresponsible to cause a loss on purpose, but there should be penalties against this player.
I think that there should be only esports professionals. There should be esports professionals, and there should be...
Physical sports professionals. That makes sense. Yeah, you've been saying that too.
Yeah, it doesn't make, you know, I mean, they're doing it as a way to, you know, entertain themselves, and they're looking at it from pure entertainment, which esports can be. But like any sport is actual entertainment. But to an athlete, it's their job. I mean, to a professional, conventional athlete, they work, you know, and so does an esport professional. But you got to understand something. One who works with trying to make sure that every muscle and bone in their body is at its peak performance to play an actual conventional physical game they've dedicated their whole lives to it since they were like, you know, 6 years old playing basketball and then playing, you know, in a little league basketball and then playing in high school and then playing in college. And it's their whole focus of everything that they've done. Now, esports is getting there. We're getting professional esport athletes that have started practicing at that age and that they're going to get there. But They haven't dedicated their entire lives. They only started getting involved in it maybe when they were 12 or 10, or, which is still young. And some of these other guys are doing that still at the age of 12. But there's a difference between when an esport professional sits down and plays a video game and they want it, you know, when they first sit down at the game, they realize, just like a professional athlete, that they're good at it. And they could beat a lot of people at it. And they have to consider whether or not they want to go professional. But the actual ecosystem for esports and the professional circles for esports is not been established the way it's been established for professional athletes, like conventional professional athletes. And that ecosystem for professional athletes, there's an entire system, high school, college, professional, you know, then you get to the pro leagues, or in baseball, you have the minor leagues. There's like levels that have been established. And esports doesn't have that kind of respectability yet from the conventional side, from people who play conventional sports. And I think that what we have to, where we have to go with it is that they have to earn that respect. The esport professionals will earn that respect eventually. And they do go through the same rigorous type of training and practicing on a video game that a conventional athlete will go through playing his conventional sport. But you can't take a conventional athlete and ask them to play a esports version of their game because they just aren't going to look at it in the same way. It's the same.
That seems like an incredibly bratty mindset.
It's a very bratty mindset, but that's the thing about why, you know, we've talked in other podcasts before, and I've said why I never like to compare the conventional sports world to esports world. They are very.
Yeah, you have said that before. They are very different.
Exactly, they're two different worlds. They're all entertainment, but the guys that come from the conventional sports world, they can't compare and say the Call of Duty League or the Overwatch League should be designed and created the same way as the NFL.
Even with esports in general, the traveling alone was modeled off of traditional sports, and it just doesn't make sense, and COVID is showing that. If you have one team flying across the country to go play against another team, when they can have just as good of an experience in their centers with great internet, it would cut down a lot of that, the visa problems and the travel time.
That's exactly what I've been trying to say for years. I mean, yeah, I think that you can have this strong enough presence online and the competition online that.
Well, even if you take a look at, I think it's Rainbow Six Siege.
Right.
What they're doing with having their regional tournaments and then taking the top teams for a bigger tournament, that makes sense.
Oh yeah, that totally makes sense. Well, let's look at the college levels at least. Maybe that's a better example. If you look at conventional college sports, you know, they have the Big Ten, the Big East, different leagues within the college area, and many of those teams that are within that conference, meaning the Big East or the Big Ten or whatever, are in the same geographical location for the most part. So if you look at, like, for example, the Big East, and the Big East is like, I think you have teams like Rutgers University, you have Maryland University, I think you have some more, a few of them up and down the East Coast, and then you throw in Michigan and, you know, those schools. But you don't have, like, you know, you don't have the University of California, UCLA, in the Big East. That's a Western Conference college league. So the conferences that they set up in the colleges have different areas that can play with one another within maybe an hour to 2 hour flight, even. You don't have to fly around the world to go, and they don't have to, like, if they have a basketball game, like Rutgers has to play Maryland, they'll get a bus and take a bus down, you know, or something like that. It makes much more sense. And then you have are your finals for each conference, and then those finals that you have from each one of those conferences, then that goes up into the actual, you know, the NCAA, you know, there's like 50 teams or something like that, or 48 teams, and that gets windled down to the, you know, the Sweet 16 and the Final Four, and then, you know, the last two standing or whatever it is. But that's where I think that they can take a better model than professional sports and make something in esports that makes a lot more sense, you know. And then not only that, but your conferences. So you don't forget about leagues. Let's not talk about leagues. Let's talk about just conferences. So you set up conferences with all the esports, and this could be done on the college level and the pro level as well, too. I mean, you could still do the same model. You know, you have the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference and the Southern Conference and the Northern Conference, you know, or Central Conference, whatever it is. But you can have different conferences of esports teams and then set them up like based on region. Originally, that's how the baseball started. I mean, when baseball first began, it's such an old sport. It was only teams were on the East Coast, and then they went out west. But they created conferences. You know, there's the Western, there's the American League, there's the Eastern Division, the Western Division. So it's, you know, I don't know if esports is at that point yet where it's big enough that it could get to, you know, that level. In regard to on the professional side of it, but conferences make up a lot more sense than I would say what they're doing right now. Right now, it's kind of just like everything's all over the place. Well, so that's kind of like where it's at. But anyway,
you have the ESPN. I think they do something called the Spring Rally, where universities cheer and get voted on, and then I think they take the top 8 schools and they compete against each other on various titles.
Right. And that's it's not really at that point where it's been, you know, solidified, organized in that level at that level yet. But it will be. It'll get there. I mean, definitely because of the pandemic, you know, esports has seen enormous growth, and I think that's great, and I believe it will get bigger, but I don't know. I mean, we covered something about this was the second article about how Dominic Baer, from the CEO of Interwetten, believes that this will not continue in regards to the esports betting world.
Yeah, he pretty much says that once COVID is gone, because esports are the only sport, that betting will drastically decline on the esports side, which makes sense. But I feel like this has been an actual growth period and showcases how much you can actually do within the esports space and gambling in the U.S. Sure.
Well, you know, it's interesting. This guy who put this article out there, I read somewhere today in another article. I get these articles often, but I think the betting right now, because there's no conventional sports, it's 40% of the betting world right now.
Yeah.
Of online betting, and that's it's huge. It's the only thing that's saving the betting world. But, you know, the gambling world is kind of cruel. And what this guy's talking about is, he says that after conventional sports get back on track, that esports will just, you know, it won't go away, but it'll go back to where it was. I don't believe it's going to go back to where it was.
I think it's shown way too much growth to go back to where it was. But do you think that it'll stay where it is in growth, or do you think it'll slow down?
Yeah, I think it's available now because it's the only thing that's around, but I believe that it's not going to go down to the numbers it was pre-pandemic. Post-pandemic,
I don't think so either. I think it's going to keep growing.
Right, so that's why I think it's going to stay not at 40%, obviously, because all the other sports, the conventional sports, will come back into play, and then you know, esports might drop. But I would say that after the pandemic, post-pandemic, esports will account for at least 10 to 15% of all online betting, and that number is going to grow. What the pandemic did for esports was give it a major, major boost. If you could put esports in a time machine and shoot it into the future, it probably just gained like 6 years, like overnight, or maybe 5 years.
Really? You think it's grown that much since the pandemic?
Yeah, it was a back to the future light year jump. we went into hyperdrive when the pandemic came.
That's funny. I do agree. I think that we've been seeing a lot of news, especially in Nevada, of allowing new and different esports to be bet on. And I don't see it going away anytime soon, like we've been saying. I don't know if it'll grow as fast as it has been, but I think once people get a taste of it and start understanding the culture a little bit more, they're allowing DreamHack to be bet on this year, which is huge.
I agree. I think DreamHack had an event. Maybe in 2016 they had an event in Vegas, and they had the worst turnout they've ever had at a DreamHack event. Nobody showed up. In fact, it was empty. They had the tournament, and the stadium was empty. And I don't know what happened there. Maybe they didn't publicize it properly or didn't get out well enough. It was a bust, basically. And the DreamHack folks were like, we're never coming back here. This is like,
Sucks.
But I think, with Nevada being, opening their betting books for the DreamHack Masters, there's a lot of backdoor tie-ins that are happening. In fact, the other article that we jumped over was that the Call of Duty League and Overwatch was signing, or Blizzard itself was signing a agreement with Sports Radar.
Yes.
Now, Sports Radar is what they do is they do statistics, stats of all players on the conventional professional athletes. And I actually had a conversation with a Dr. Mintis, who is used to actually, she sits on the board for, I think it's Betway or one of those other statistical analysis companies that make those statistics for the professional athletes. And what she mentioned to me was that statistics, she said, are easier to make statistics for, because it's all digital. She says it's more difficult for doing it for professional athletes, because professional athletes, actually all of their stats have to be entered in by hand, because they're doing, they're out on a field, and whatever their batting averages or how many catches they make or how fast they throw a ball, or in regard to baseball, like a pitcher, etc., how many strikeouts, these are all things that are happening during a game that have to be entered after the game's over.
And naturally,
so
in this, they'll just be able to capture it as it happens, which is the advantage.
Exactly. So she's saying it has way more, it's much better for the actual better person betting on esports to get a much better idea of that player's tendencies. Statistically. So how does that, what she sees as far as esports is concerned, because I actually did an interview on, we have a new segment for the Casino Esport Conference. It's called Level Up. And we interview, we Zoom and record these Zoom interviews with our speakers, for the CEC. And what we try to do is get a little glimpse at what, you know, who they are, get to know them a little better, so that when we get to the event in September, a lot of the people will be familiar with who they are and what they've done in their careers. So, right. So if you go to our website, the CECONF.com, you can find the Level Up blog or vlog area, and then you can check out all the interviews there. Anyway, so Dr. Mintus has mentioned that esports will be way bigger than conventional sports, and everything will run a lot faster, and the bets that you'll make can be strategized in a much more concrete and understanding way to the better, and also for the bookie. So the bookie can then strategize and design the kind of bets that he wants to make on particular players, because everything's digital and it's all done on a computer, and that's how everything works now anyway. And, you know, she just said esports has much more of a brighter future in the world of wagering and betting than actual conventional sports does. So, you know, this is, I think we're, what we've seen with the pandemic is a very small glimpse. Although it was fast forwarded, like I said, 5-6 years, but I think being that it's 40% of the betting world right now, I see what's going to happen is it eventually. I think my opinion is esports wagering will be bigger than sports wagering, and the reason is because there's so many games, and it's on all the time. There's always a tournament, professional.
And, well, as you just said, so many games are always popping up. Take Valorant, for example. I know that they're already setting up some sort of, like, esports events and leagues or whatever.
Yeah, and there's a new game that a friend of mine called, it's called Gods Unchained.
I haven't heard of that.
It's kind of like a Hearthstone type of game. Yeah, and it's really amazing. It's actually coming out of the cryptocurrency kind of world, because my friend's into cryptocurrency, and is really quite an interesting game. But you know, as I said, there's a lot that's changing. We're moving into much more of a digital world, and then, you know, we haven't even covered what the future of the convergence of physical sports or physical conventional sports, and then the digital side, the esports. New games will be created with virtual reality, augmented reality, and all that kind of stuff. So it's a brave new world. The pandemic is just a simple glimpse and tip of the iceberg that has allowed us to see into the future at a very fast growth rate. And it will. It's going to, like he said in the article, what might slow down after the pandemic is over, but it's not going to be forgotten.
Of course.
Believe me, a lot of people are looking at it with a very fine tooth comb.
Well, it's just opening things up, and like you said, it really should be separated.
Yep. So it's kind of interesting if we can all survive through this thing.
Yeah,
we can all
see
what comes out on the other side.
That's all we can really do.
So that's the story. But anyway, I actually think that, you know, if, you know, we should actually set up if anybody has any questions or they'd like to join the show, you know, and you're out there, they should email me or you. My email address is refox@gameacon, GameaCon.com. Or you can email Jen. Jen, you want to give your email address?
Oh, yeah. My email address is Jennifer, JennifeR, UCHIN, at realpplgaming.com.
Now, I think there's also, they can find an NGN on our website. I think there's a contact us, I think, or something on the website. New gaming news somewhere, but if we can, we'll put that up so that our listeners want to check in with us, or they want to come on the show or something, or they have something to talk about, we'd love to have them on. So, but anyway, not much more going on except
really
survive the pandemic, and other than that, I guess we'll see you in 2 weeks.